You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
Coming to you from Springville, Utah. I'm up in the canyon, up in Hobble Creek Canyon, visiting some friends. And it's always beautiful up here. I'm sitting in the, it's a little echoey here, I'm sorry about that, but I'm sitting at their kitchen table, and it's just, the views here are just wonderful. And just, it was a little snowy yesterday when I came up. Just coming down a little bit, but it's all cleared up. It's not snowing now, but it's been a wonderful time. I came up here after work yesterday. I had to work Saturday, and it was a short day. I had a kind of a mild day, number of stops. I only had like 50 stops yesterday. And so I finished up at 1 o'clock, and they invited me up to watch a general conference with them. So I decided to kind of come up Saturday night and spend the night, and it's well worth it. This weekend has been really something, it always is when I watch and listen to General Conference of the Church. They do this twice a year. In April, it's the annual conference, and then in October, it's a semi-annual, and it's just amazing. It's a two-day conference. They have 4 general sessions, 2 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday, and then they have an evening session that's about an hour long. That was just wonderful. Just, you know, I mean, it's good for anybody to listen to. It's just not for members of the church. It's for everybody out there who wants to listen and to learn something about their lives and why they're here on this earth and what, you know, the intentions that God has for each and every one of his children. I usually don't make a, you know, big religious thing about on my podcast, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and he says, I think you need to be a little bit more candid and more, you know, not talk so much about politics and stuff, which I do, because it's an important thing in our lives right now. You know, a few years ago, maybe not, it wasn't that important, but it is today, and it's an ongoing issue that we need to kind of deal with. But, I wanted to make this podcast, this episode a little bit different. Like I said yesterday, well, let me go back. I started the program with the, song from the Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'. And, there's a verse in that song at the very beginning where he's talking about going to a church, and he goes into the church and he pretends to pray. And I don't know what the religious beliefs of the Mamas and Papas were in the 70s. I don't even pretend to even know that. but it brought up an important thing for me, and kind of like highlighted for me this whole weekend for me. Is that the intent of the way that you live your life And the intent by which you go about your activities and your work and your faith and your family, and the intent that we have even in our government and things like that, is so very important. And sometimes I believe that we kind of go through life and we kind of like, we pretend, just like the song says, we pretend to pray, we pretend to care, we pretend that everything is okay, and it's not. And the reason why it's not is because I think people have, I don't know if they've given up, but they've lost faith in their Christian principles in this country. I've said it many times on this podcast that it matters who you vote for, of course. I'm not saying that. It's an important thing. Everybody has their opinion about that. But if you think that things are going to change just because you vote a certain person into office and you kick the other person out or whatever the case may be, you're mistaken, because the illness that this country has right now, the way I look at it, in my opinion, is that we are continually moving away from God and relying on our own ideas, our own precepts, our own secular ideas. And all you have to do is look at statistics, and you know that I'm telling the truth. Divorce rates are higher. Families are being torn apart. We're being taught ideologies and secular ideas that are just have never been in, well, as long as I've ever been alive, and as far back as you can remember or even read. You know, we have secular ideas that are taken front and center in our lives. It's affecting work, it's affecting school, education, it's affecting our society. And it's because I believe that we have, I hope it's not that we've given up on going to church and God and everything. I really hope not, because that'd be a lot more serious than what I'm talking about. But there needs to be a revolution, you know, not an uprising or anything like that, just a revolution in people, in their hearts and in their minds, to go back to church. I don't care what, you know, religion that you're part of. I don't care if you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever, you're Buddhist, I don't care. I think the problem is we have given up. And the message that we get from the media, from corporate, from our government, unfortunately, is that Christianity isn't that important. And we've seen that, and you hear that quite often if you listen intently enough and you watch closely enough. That's the message that's being perpetrated on us, that we should rely on the government, that we should rely on everybody else but ourselves, and we should believe in the government, and we should not believe in a God that has a plan for each and every one of us. See, I was lucky. I consider myself very lucky. You know, my mom and dad, they joined the church. I think I said this before. My mom and dad joined the church before I was born. They had missionaries come to the house. Actually, my mom listened to the lessons from the missionaries first, and she decided that she wanted to join the church based on reading the Book of Mormon and listening to the missionaries and praying about it and things like that. She decided to join the church. My father at the time, at least this is what my mother told me, is that he wasn't too sure about it. He was active in another, I think it was a Southern Baptist organization. And he was actually thinking about moving the family down south to participate more in this organization. And my mom put a nix on that real quick. She said, well, you can go down there if you want, but I'm staying here. I'm going to join this church. And I believe it's true, and from what I've read and from what I've been able to pray and get, you know, answers to my prayers and things like that. So my father didn't do that, thank goodness. And he I'm not sure what the process was, but, and I don't know if he sat in all the meetings with my mom, with the missionaries at the time, but I guess he rethought what he wanted to do, and he, you know, continued to take the lessons until he was converted as well. So they both joined the church. My mom's side never, my mother's side never joined the church. My father's side, however, his mother and father joined, and all of his siblings joined later on. And it was a great blessing, I think, in my life, because I've always, you know, I can't say always, I'm grounded in these doctrines. And the doctrines are to help you understand who you are as an individual. I've always understood that I'm a child of God. I'm a literal son of my Father in heaven, and that this earth is all, it's planned. We are here to experience earth life and to learn to live God's commandments and to draw ourselves close to Him, to be covenant people. And God's people have always been covenant people. If you read the Old Testament, New Testament, that's undeniable. And it's always been a bedrock foundation for me to always fall back on. You know, the youth, when we're 16 or 17, somewhere around there, some are earlier now than what they used to be, but most of the ones when I was growing up were, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. You would get what we call a patriarchal blessing from the patriarch of our stake at the time. And stake is just a group of wards that are put together, several different wards. And there's a patriarch that's called. And the patriarch gives you a blessing, which is a personal blessing. And I got it right before I left on my mission when I was 18, 19 years of age. And the patriarch at the time knew my family for years and years and years. And I didn't really know him, Paul Bang. I really didn't know him at all. And I don't think he really knew me too well. I mean, he knew my mom and dad, of course, and he knew my siblings. But he didn't really know, you know, me, my ins and outs and things like that. And I remember sitting in the chair, and he was asking me a few questions about myself and things like that. And then he laid his hands on my head, and he pronounced the blessing. And I knew immediately that it was something much greater going on than just the patriarch and Brother Bang giving me a blessing and putting his hands on my head. Because in that blessing that I got, there were things that were revealed to me, that were said to me, that I only knew. The patriarch didn't know it. My mom and dad didn't know it. They were very, very, very personal. And that I'm not going to go into, but I remember listening to him, and that caught my attention really quickly, which causes you to kind of like laser focus the rest of the blessing, the rest of the prayer on what he's saying, because you want to see what else he's gonna reveal or, you know, bless you with. And one of the things that he said to me that's always stuck in all my years, and listen, I'm not a, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a perfect guy. I don't claim to be perfect. I just try. And I just try to be good, and I'm not always successful at that. But he said to me through his blessing that I was blessed to, how did he put it? Blessed to realize and understand spiritual things, that my whole makeup was spiritual. And that has always stuck with me all through my life. Some points in my life it means more, some other light, you know, some other times when you're working and you're just raising family and you're raising kids and stuff, you kind of, but I look back on my life, I really do, and you try to make a measure of who you are and how you're measuring up to what you wanted to achieve and what you wanted to become. And I look at my life and I look at my activity in the church and I look at my activity in general. And it is something that is true that he said about my life, my makeup is being spiritual. I look at things in that way. I even look at politics and I look at politics and life, family, work. I look at all of it through kind of like a spiritual lens. And then how am I kind of like measuring up? And this weekend, I wanted to bring up this weekend because the general authorities of the church speak, and a couple of the brethren who spoke, one of them, and I'll kind of get into that a little bit, but one of them talked about intent, the way we live our lives, the intent that we have behind the decisions that we make and things like that. And so, like I said, Saturday I was working, and I was lucky enough to be able to get a good signal on my phone, so I was able to play and listen to a lot of the talks while I was delivering. I was in and out of my truck, but I was surprised I was able to get as much as I did, because I drive all over the place. Sometimes the signal's not good and it drops off, but I was able to keep the signal pretty much all the time. And I remember right before the session started, they start at 10 o'clock on Saturday. And I pulled over in this cul-de-sac after I made a delivery, and I just offered a real short prayer. And my prayer was that as I listen, that I hear something or something hits me that's personal in one of these talks, right, that I can really hone in on, and that will make a difference to me. And I asked for that. I asked for, you know, that. And it kind of reminded me of, I don't know if you've seen The Chosen or not, but there's a portion in there where I think it's Andrew. He goes, visits John the Baptist in prison, right? He's thrown in prison. Herod throws him in prison, and he's been in there for quite a while. And Andrew goes to visit him. Andrew used to be a disciple of his, and John told him to go seek out the Christ and things like that. And he became, of course, an apostle and a disciple of Christ. But when he was in there, it was just right after, I think it was where he did the Sermon on the Mount. And John was asking him about that and about how it affected him personally, you know. And John recounted some of the things that had taken place, the number of people, thousands of people. And John was excited about that. And of course, Andrew was really upset that John was imprisoned and things like that, and didn't seem like a whole lot of hope or anything like that, right? And John looks at him and he says, "You really want to do something that will help me? What can you do to help me? All you can do is follow him. That's what I want you to do, Andrew. Follow him. Do what he tells you to do. Okay? Do what he tells you to do." He says, whatever the Sermon on the Mount that you listen to, every one of his talks, every one of his speeches, every one of his stories that he talks about is always going to have something personal for each and every person that hears it and listens to it. And what you got to do is you got to find out what that personal message is for you individually. That's what you have to do. And he asked Andrew, he goes, what was it that was personal to you in that message from Jesus Christ, right? And Andrew says, well, I guess if I had, you know, basically kind of had to think about it, he says, it was that I had to go ask for forgiveness of someone who I have hurt, because there is we're about giving a gift. If you're given a gift and you're a bad person, you need to first go reconcile with whoever and whatever the situation is first before you offer your gift, right? So he says, you know, I need to do that, and before you give your gift, whatever that gift is going to be, because it'll be accepted more if you're repentant and things like that. And then later on in the show, he goes and he speaks with Mary Magdalene, and he had been very rude and very mean to her. And he went there and apologized to her for the things that he had said to her. Now, that's the first time, according to the story, that's the first time that anybody had really kind of apologized to her. And it was a very kind of a surreal type of a a scene there, because he was very honest and he's very sincere. And it made me, you know, contemplate on, you know, what I need to do with my own life, with my family, with those people around. I try to be the kind of person that if I've offended somebody, if I hurt somebody, used some language that I shouldn't have used, got angry with them, usually in a couple of days, I really think about and ponder about those things quite often. And I get to the point where I need to go apologize for what I've said or what I've done. And so I do. At work, a couple of weeks ago, I got in an argument with my boss. I thought my argument was warranted, but the way that I went about it wasn't the best in the world. And I ended up apologizing to him for yelling at him and things like that. And I shouldn't have done that. I should be more professional. And I apologized to him, and I apologized to the people that were there that really didn't even have anything to do with what the situation was at all from the hub. And I went and sought those three people out, and because they were just there, and I apologized to them for my actions and things like that. I recently, I think I brought this up in my other podcasts before other episodes, but with my son, my youngest son, years ago, I hadn't really acted like a good father with him. And I thought I had apologized to him years ago. In fact, I know I had. But I found out from his mother that he was still holding on to that whole situation. And I had no idea that he was doing it. And I talked to my oldest daughter, and he says, "Dad, you need to call him and get on the phone with him, or do FaceTime with him so he can see it. Don't text him, because that's kind of insincere. But get on the phone with him and text, or get on the phone with him, FaceTime with him, and have a discussion with him, and do, you know, get it taken care of, because it just doesn't need to be in either one of your lives anymore." And so I wrestled around, because I knew that I'd already apologized to him for my behavior, which was just abhorrent. So I finally called him, and we had a good long FaceTime with each other. He was in California, Lemoore. He's still in the Navy. Anyway, I apologized to him, and for my behavior and for things I said to him, which I shouldn't have said. Just wasn't very parental of me to do that. And he forgave me. And then he told me that he was kind of like holding on to an idea that he was carrying some of the guilt as well, because he had broken some of the rules in our home. And he was carrying that. And I told him, I said, "Son, you don't have anything to apologize to me for. I appreciate what you're saying and where you're coming from, but you really didn't need to apologize to me." But it went back to that whole episode and what I've read, and goes back to my patriarchal blessing that I've always, my life, and this isn't to brag or make me out to be some spiritual leader or something like that, which I'm not, but I've always approached my life in a spiritual way, and my makeup is, and I look at things that way. I look at leadership, I look at work, my own spiritual life, and my friendships, my marriage, my relationship with my family, my kids, and those who I'm just, meeting for the first time. And a lot of times I'm out talking with people who I'm delivering with, and a lot of them are like almost like they're shut-ins. A lot of older widows or single, people, and I have an opportunity to talk with them just for a few minutes, and they're aware that I'm kind of dropping and going and I need to get done and everything, but I usually will take some time and talk to people that I get to sense that they need to have somebody to talk to for a couple minutes. I did that with this lady dropping off her Chewy box, and it was some dog food that she has this little terrier that's just like the size of your fist, and she has this Chewy food that's like a medication. Sorry about the cuckoo clock in the back. Hold on. Hopefully it'll stop. There it goes. Anyway, so I just sensed something that she needed just to have somebody talk to her for a couple minutes. So I did. I kind of just sat there with the door. I put the box inside for her. And we sat there and talked about her dog and about her and things like that. Just, kind of like surfacey type stuff. But she had the biggest smile on her face. And she said, thank you. And then she goes, I really appreciate all the hard work that you do. And like, I go to this lady's house maybe once every couple of months when her dog runs out of food, I guess. And, but it made me feel so good, that I took the time to do that. And I've had that experience with other people as well, as I've made some deliveries and have stopped and talked with them. And, you get busy and you don't want to, and it rightfully so, but sometimes you just need to stop. And I think it goes back to those things. You can't live your life and like pretend. And I've probably tried to do that myself. I'm 65 years old. I haven't always been, I've been active in my church, but active, what's a good definition of active? That's like, it's like the word soon. What's a good definition of soon? What is it? Like today, this evening, is it tomorrow? Is it next week? Is it a year from now? Is it 100 years from now? Who knows what soon is, And it's the same way with that. It's like you strive, and it's an important thing just to kind of continue to look at your life and say, am I moving forward or not? Am I staying stagnant in my life? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. I'm nobody of any significance at all, except that I'm a father and I love my children. My children love me, which is the most important thing to me in the world. But I look at those people that I try to influence, and they're going to be influencers of other people. They're going to be influencers of their own children. They're going to raise their children with certain precepts and principles and standards and stuff like that. And I hope that someday that I can, stand and say that I was the kind of person that was a good example of the blessings that I've been giving. And that I shared those things with my friends and those people around me. It really does affect society. It just doesn't affect me. A lot of people have this. A lot of people in the world today think that anything that they do that doesn't affect society. My opinion is that anything that you do affects society, because it's going to affect somebody else that you come in contact with, and that person's going to take it one way or the other. And then they're going to share that with somebody else. And eventually, maybe 10 years down the road, it's starting to affect society. And we're seeing that today with our social environment in our country and around the world as well. And when we start accepting bad ideas and downright false ideas in the name of, getting along with each other and believing what, you can't question anything. You can't, I dare you to sit there and question authority and things like that. And we have these ideologies that are out there today that nobody in their right mind would believe. But we have people that believe this stuff, and it's being perpetuated in our media and our business and our government and our administration. And it's just, it's a clear violation of what I feel is right. And I think a lot of people, I don't think I'm alone in that. I think a lot of people they know it, but they just don't do it. And that's why I started the podcast at the beginning with the Mamas and the Papas and California Dream, because I think people just pretend sometimes that, oh, it's not that serious. Don't worry about it. But it is something serious to think about. It's something serious to partake in. And we have this election coming up, which is an important election. But the most important thing that we can do as citizens of this country is to turn ourselves around and really do some serious introspection of our own lives, of our families, our children, what we're doing, and returning back to some basic values and principles that we seem to have, we have lost our way somewhere. We've gotten off the path that has made us a great country, and we've accepted ideologies and precepts and principles and standards that just aren't working. And the only thing that's going to change that is us, as we the people. That's why I think the writers and the framers of the Constitution started the Constitution with "we the people." You know, it's like we are the power comes from us as citizens, not the government. It doesn't flow down from the government; it flows up from the citizens. And I think that's what we need to return to. We need to get back on track and accept things that are truth and good, and really fight that which is not good, the misinformation and the disinformation that we're getting today from around the world and from learned, quote-unquote, unlearned people or elites and things like that. We need to really question those things. I've done it. I tried to do that all my life. I'm not perfect at it, but I've tried to do that all my life. And it comes down to like what I think is common sense. And I combine my common sense with trying to look at things from a spiritual aspect. And I see if those two are in rhythm with each other. And if they're not, then I try to figure out why they're not. And investigate it, look at it, and then make a determination on that going forward. So I know this coming election is really important, and we're putting a lot of, you know, you have both sides of this, you have both sides of the aisle, and when you are looking at who you're going to vote for, not necessarily who you're going to vote for, but what are you going to do as an individual to change the country? Because that's like I said, that's where it needs to come from. It isn't going to come from Biden. It's not going to come from Trump or any other elected official. Believe me, that's a top-down kind of philosophy. Now, yes, there are some that are going to be, you know, we know we're going to have leaders that aren't doing the best, and they may even be malevolent in their actions. And others may not, and we got to be able to determine that and make a decision on that and vote according to our conscience. But the bottom line is that we as people need to return to the principles and the standards and the Christian Judeo values that we have been raised with, that this country is founded on. This is where we need to get. We've gotten away from that. We need to get back to that. Hold on for a minute. So, listen, it's going a little over time here. I hope you enjoyed what I talked about today. I'm trying to share my little bit more of my feelings about who I am a little bit. Recording this on a Sunday, so it'll come out, hopefully tomorrow. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to learn and to grow. Watch things, listen very carefully to what's going on around the world, and then apply it to the standards that you were taught. Apply it to the standards that you know that are true. Everybody's got their common sense. Everybody's been blessed with the spirit of Christ, I believe, your conscience. And you can listen and hear and read, and you can have that spiritual side of you help you to understand what's going on around in the world. And I believe that's what we really need for this upcoming election and for our country to remain strong and solvent and a leader in the world. The world needs the United States of America, because if we're not going to lead, then who is? And there's not a whole lot of countries out there that are in a position to lead. We need to remain a country that is based on faith and truth and conscience, you know, common sense. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend. My prayers every night are that this country finds its soul again, finds its spiritual life again. And I really do hope that not only do we take voting seriously, but we take our own lives and examine, really do some examining of our own lives and see what we can do, personally do, to change the trajectory of our country. Again, thanks for listening. You can get this on Apple or Spotify or any app that you like to use. I'm pretty sure I'm on all of them. If you got any questions or comments, please, I'd love to hear from you. It's rob@robscottpodcast.com. Check out my website at robscottpodcast.com. And until next time, have a good week.